You go to share the gospel and you meet with resistance. So what do? Sadly, most of us typically just shut up and walk away. But the Apostle Paul had a different idea about it all. If there was resistance, there was movement. And if there was movement, there was hope. And in fact, he was working for Jesus' sake, wasn't he? Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon returns us to the book of Acts today, for Jesus' sake. Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 28, we get a clear look at the Apostle Paul's mandate and how it should be our mandate as well. With more, here's Pastor Chris on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Paul had a perspective on ministry that we don't have as Americans. When he was explaining life to the Philippian church, who was confused about hardship and their sufferings for the gospel, he said this, in light of what he knew the Lord had done when he called him. For it has been granted to you, for the sake of Christ, not only that you believe, but that you also suffer for his name's sake. Huh? The hardships we face, the pains we undergo, the oppositions we are granted, are given to you by the Lord for him. You don't think like that. I don't think like that. I'm not talking about the oppositions we receive when we do stupid things or be jerks. Peter said you can suffer in this life because you're a busybody, a divisive person, a meddler, and so on. What we're talking about here is suffering for doing what's right. When you're facing pain for these things, the apostles so looked at it as something the Lord had specifically appointed and given to them as a particular blessing that they could suffer it for Jesus' sake. It's all over their writings. It's there they knew that Jesus shows identification with us. What a privilege, Paul wrote. The surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Listen to this great statement. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now, most of us will never face what the apostles did, but they did want us to look at their lives as an example for a reason. This is why the apostles back in chapter 3, when they were beaten for the faith, they walked away. Remember Peter? They walked away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. There it is again. And I've captured that in the title. So as they're going forward, this was never the stuff to run from. Right? We all want to run when things get hard. We all have our little maps of where we're going to go when things get hard. We think of Elijah in the cave running. What are you doing here? What are you doing? But these are the sort of things that they're thinking about, that we don't look at the hardships and the sufferings this way. And Paul is thinking this way in all of this. And I stopped and I thought this way. Can you imagine if we looked at life this way? It's going to change everything you're doing. It's going to give you purpose in the hardships. It's going to give you a reason to live in the hardships, isn't it? Remember Paul when he said, I have a thorn in the flesh. I need this gone. Lord, take it away. 3 times. Take it away. Please take it away. And the reason Paul said that was given was because he was being attacked as an illegitimate apostle because there was no glory in his ministry. He was not a big name to these people. Where's the success, Paul? And Jesus changed his whole perspective in it, didn't he say? That's why I've given you the thorn. You don't understand. I've given you the thorn so that you will understand, they may not, I'm not worried about them, so that you will understand my power is resting on you in weakness. Because you think that when everything's great and you're strong, then the Lord's power is on you. No, the soil he loves to work on is this. So, first they were driven by understanding who they were serving. The Lord. All of it's under his control. Second, they understood this, that through all of this, the Lord was saving his elect. Finally, as the persecution got so strong to the point of stoning, as soon as then, when the stones were ready to fly, they fled. And we read that they went from Iconium to Lystra. It's a glorious moment again, for Paul starts preaching. We read there was a man there who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth. This is Acts 3 revisited. Same scenario as Peter in Solomon's portico with the lame man. As Paul's preaching, he can see now, think of responses here that Acts 14 is showing us. He can see that this guy has the faith to be healed. I should stop and capitalize on that moment, by the way. You can tell when people are checked out as a pastor. People would always ask me, can you see what we're doing, Pastor? I can see what all of you are doing. I want you to know that, okay? If you're sleeping back there, I can see you, okay? You can see people nodding off and all that. But I want to encourage you here. I'm not here to beat you up on that point. I know people can be tired. That when the Holy Spirit is working, and this is why I always encourage you, we have a prayer of illumination, to pray that when the word is being proclaimed, your hearts are receptive and open, because you know all the worries of life can take that word. You can see it as a pastor when somebody's taken in that word. You can see the response in the heart. So I have not just been bumped, I've also seen that. It's encouraging. It's wonderful. And Paul zeroes in. He's preaching the gospel, and this guy's sitting there. Give it to me. Paul sees this, and as he sees it, he heals him right there by the Lord's power, not his. Remember, this is Acts. These are apostles. Stand up on your feet right now. You can imagine this. He's preaching the gospel. He sees this response. He's overwhelmed by the response. And right then he focuses in. Stand up on your feet. Can you imagine that in a service? It's just a beautiful moment that the man gets up, springs up, and he begins to walk. Same thing as Acts 3. And this ignited in the city something that in Lystra they had known. Before, there were records of writers saying that the gods had come down to Lystra and they had not treated them with respect before, and the reason then their city was cursed because of that. There was known writings to that effect. When they saw Paul do this, we're in now Gentile pagan territory. When they saw Paul do this by the power of the Lord, immediately they said, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." To which you would think, that's a lot more receptive they might be to the message of Jesus Christ, the true God, taking on human flesh, coming down. These are Gentiles. It's Paul they called, Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes. And they're speaking in this language that the apostle doesn't know. And all of a sudden, Paul looks up and sees that the priests are now bringing sacrifices to sacrifice to them. I think we get right here to the heart of a pastor. Right here. Look at it. Look at how gripped these people are in the darkness. You come here today and you take for granted that you know the Lord and that you worship Him. But what is your attitude toward those all around us who are gripped by idolatry and worshiping in that right now? Paul is looking at pagans who don't know the Bible, and his heart's bleeding for them. He's not going to open the scriptures to prove that Jesus is the Christ immediately. He knows they don't even know the scriptures. So what does he do to these Gentile pagans? He appeals to what they do know. Men, we're also men like you. Don't do this. We're bringing you good news of Jesus, that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all these nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven, fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. See what he did? Look at all you're enjoying right now. Look at, it's all goodness from the Creator. And you have a knowledge of this. Now Romans 1 tells us they have suppressed it, but Paul worked hard on it, didn't he? He gave you rain. He gave you food. Look at all this abundance. It's from him. That was his starting point with these pagans. Here's the thing. Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Why is that being shown to you? Who's he working for? Jesus. What does he have a bleeding heart for? What's the second reason he's doing this? A love for people. The heart of the pastor here is the nations have suppressed the truth of the Creator. God is opening the door now to the nations. When the evidence is all around them, he appeals to creation, the goodness of the Lord, the fact that they have food, rain, blessings, and he calls them to turn as he preaches the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done. Here's the point. You know what happened here? Failure. According to us, failure. Look at this. It didn't work. It didn't stop them from sacrificing to them. Talk about mass discouragement. Mass discouragement. But then what happens? The oddest of all events in Acts. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium get together and come all the way to Lystra. And what do? They stirred up all these crowds against them. How fickle the crowd. So then what do? They take Paul out and they begin to grab boulders and they stone him. I don't really have too much to be discouraged about today, do you? You think you had a bad day? This is a bad day, if you're looking at it that way. I mean, Paul preaches, gets run out of the city for preaching Jesus, runs here, preaches. He can't stop them from sacrificing. The people from the other city come, and like Jesus, the word that was heard was snatched away, as Jesus said, by Satan. Now he gets stoned. Paul would later write because of this. Listen to this. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and the day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people. You know the pain of that? Danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all these other things, there is daily pressure on me of anxiety for all of the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to fall and I'm not indignant? Who is this? And then he says this. It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ for your building up, beloved. If I walked out of here today and some of you started throwing stones at me, I don't know if you'd see me tonight. I don't know if you would. I'd be pretty offended, you know. I might even have to go to the hospital. What does Paul do? The next day, he gets up and he goes back. Right back into the city. Are you kidding? He went to Derby preaching the gospel, and then he went right back to all the opposition. He went right through there, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Did you see that? You stop and you say, why are you doing that? Why is he enduring all this? Well, Paul told us in the pastoral epistles. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You've forgotten about the man that was already saved in Lystra, didn't you? The man who heard God saved a man. He had many people in these cities. So the point is that if you look at the account, you would say, and this is the point, you would say that was a failure. That first missionary journey, it went well at some points, but overall, what a massive failure. And Paul and them understood that the opposition, the hardship that we undergo is for somebody else. And that's what's being shown to you here, that we know that the life of Jesus is being made known in our bodies. And as that message goes out through our tribulation, the Lord is saving. You don't see it always. But he's promised you that on that day there's a multitude no man can number. So he is saving. So that as the church and the ministry, as we speak the truth, when opposition comes, you need to know that as we are committed to continue to do that, as the church remains faithful to do that, he's saving you and your children. You saw it today. That was the Lord doing a saving work. He appoints to eternal life through the faithful minister of the word. Now, I trust you see why this is important. Let me close with this application today. Because we are all driven by results. I mean it. We have no ability in the church today to handle rejection of the word. We have no ability to process that anymore. We can't even process that it's a possibility. We almost think that it absolutely shouldn't happen. And if it does happen, something's wrong with the ministry and the pastor. And we go forward with that assumption. These guys are being persecuted to the point of fleeing cities. So what's the message for the church today? Well, the church is crippled today for the single great reason. We have been taken captive by a single great problem. We are afraid to offend. I don't know how else to characterize it. It's success today. I mean, I've seen the greatest of writers and scholars compromise right here. Our fear of offending for losing financing for their institutions. Ministries, all afraid of this because of donors, because of any conflict over the word. Most, if not all, of our Christian institutions today are compromised over this issue. They are so money and donor driven. Its success is dependent on keeping donors happy. So they avoid conflict at all costs. And any perceived conflict over theological issues is just the worst thing that could happen. Keep it in-house. Don't ever let it get out-house. You could never make that a case to the apostles. You just couldn't. We struggle with this in our lives. Christians are compromised today. You know, I think as a dad, I feel the pressure to say nothing when my kids do something because we all today fear our kids. It's strange. Everything's nice. But my point is to have the truth, to know the truth, to be ambassadors of Jesus, sent with that truth, and then to not speak that truth is as cowardly as it gets. It has the effect of producing an environment of absolute deadness. Because what is forgotten is that a willingness to speak the truth is how God saved. Compromise doesn't ever appease naysayers anyway. Outside reactions never determine what we are called to say and do. Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But I want you to see that the apostles understood, as this section ends, that the church is needed to understand that. For in verse 14, Paul viewed that his work was being fulfilled as he went back to all the churches. And then we read that he completes his first missionary journey. In verse 26, they fulfilled the work that God had given them to do. And then they went around to the churches, and what was their message? It was this. Did you see it there? Don't lose heart. Remember who you're serving, and remember the fruit of what we're doing. Through much opposition, through much conflict, we all enter the kingdom of God. That's what he was encouraging the church with. Through much opposition, and I think of Jacob this morning, that I get to say to him, look, your light momentary affliction is just for a moment. It's working in you something of much more weight of eternal glory. There's something so much better coming, right? So yes, because our callings are given, we do them for the Lord, for His glory, to fulfill that responsibility. And the Lord is telling us through that He'll save His people. I hope that helps us to encourage and appreciate the real reason we're here today. Jesus gave His life. He died and was killed on the cross and murdered for speaking the truth. And we're no better than Him. We're not greater than Him. But the Lord wants you to encourage you to know He'll save through this. He's building His church through this. Don't lose heart in the conflict. Live in the joy of the comfort of knowing that you're serving the Lord, right? That's why we get up in the morning. That'll give you more joy than anything else in this life. Knowing that you have Him as your God and that He loves you. So the word will never return void. Beloved, remember then that it's been granted to you, not only to believe, but to suffer for His namesake. That'll change your perspective on everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful word, and we thank You how You encourage us with it. This is not the message that we often want to hear, because we'd love to ride on into heaven on a couch. We'd love to have everything to be easy. But You've told us this is a momentary affliction that we endure for Jesus' sake. But we need Your help, because we're so weak, we'll run from all of it. Give us boldness. Give Your church courage today. Give your believers here the help they need to look at life this way and to realize they're serving the Lord who loves them, and that His purposes are indeed being fulfilled when it seems that everything else is failing. Jesus has won the victory through His own suffering and death. Thank You for this truth and for encouraging us in Your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.